Good morning. How's everybody doing today? Hope it's a great Sunday. Awesome. Glad to see everybody here today. I am excited about today. I'm really looking forward to hearing all these all the youth come up and speak. So today, we're continuing in our series on faith. And as we've been talking about, you know, three ways to build a daring faith. One is to really have a clear understanding of what faith is. Second is we can look at the examples of old. The third is to you really understand the pitfalls of faith. And so today we're going to continue on some of those examples of old. And so just a quick recap, as we've talked about what faith is, we said in Hebrews 11, right? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith is not just wishful thinking, right? It's not just hoping against hope. It's not closing your eyes and crossing our fingers, right? Faith is something that's built on evidence, on substance, on things that we know to exist. We may not have proof, but we know it's there, right? There's a logic behind it. So that's what we said faith is, right? It's not unknown. It's not unproven. We have evidence, that our faith is based on, right? We've got it right here in the Bible. So why is it important? Well, we see in Hebrews 11, 2, we said, for it is the people of old, it's how they receive their commendation, right? Faith is our way to Christ. It is into God, right? It's not one way to please God. It's the only way to please God, right? And so it is through their faith that these examples of old receive their commendation. And so we'll continue to look at that as well. So last week, right, we talked about, right, faith is the way to life. And faith is the way to live. And we talked about like Abel and how he worshiped in faith. And Enoch and how he walked in his faith. And in Noah and obeying in faith. And how if we're living a life of faith, we saw through Moses how this life of faith can impact the decisions we make, right? We're not making decisions based on the worldly needs and the worldly pleasures that are out there. We're making our decisions based off of God's will. Right, and what he wants in life, not what we want in life or what we think others want for us in life, is decisions we can make. So today, we're going to take some time. We're going to put it all together. Right, we're going to talk a little bit of one other person here before we listen to our youth talk. We're going to talk about Abraham, and Abraham is really the first example here in Genesis, as we've talked about all these others, where we kind of see it all come together. Abraham lives this full life of faith, and we see this life manifest itself in Genesis. And through that, we see five patterns of faith and how we can live our lives. And so, we kind of all know, I'm sure, the story of Abraham. But right, I mean, he and his wife Sarah were living, and God called him and said, "Well, I want you to get up, and I want you to go. I just want you to take everything, take all your servants, take all your kin, take everybody, and I want you to go, and I'll tell you when you get to where you're going to go." And he went, right? And God promised him to make Abraham's descendants, right, more numerous than the stars, right? And promised that through him the Savior would be born. Now, we also know that they did not have a child. They were advanced in age and really shouldn't have been able to have a child, right? But they did ultimately have a child in Isaac. And so as we read through Hebrews, we'll first do in verse 8, we see that by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Now, how often, or do we feel like, we're always trying to get to a place? I think in this world, we're always asking ourselves, right, when have I made it? Right? When am I there? Right? The trappings of the world is, what's the right house? What's the right car? There's this journey. But in our life, right, we truly never know where we're going to go. Right? Who here today, is where they thought they were going to be 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, right? It's probably not even close to what you thought you'd be doing. We never know, right? We don't know the end of the journey. God does, and God has a plan for us, right? And he wants to use us for his glory through that journey, but we don't know what it is. And so we have to put faith in him, knowing that it's not the end that's important. I mean, we know there's a prize at the end, but it's not the end, it's the journey, right? So what are we doing? How are we living every day in faith in him? The other thing is, it's the questioning, right? So, right, God came to Abraham and said, you know, hey, I want you to go out, right? I want you to go. I want you to leave here. I want you to go. And what did Abraham do? And we see in Genesis 12:4, it said, so Abraham went as the Lord told him. He didn't say, well, what do I need to pack? Do I need to pack light? Do I need to pack heavy? You know, how far do I have to travel every day? Right? He didn't ask a lot of questions. God said, go, and he went. And so that's what, and it's hard for us to do, right? We always want to ask questions. We're always looking for proof. Is this the right decision? Is it not? But if we've put faith in God and we know that's what we're being drawn to do, we should just go and put our faith in God. So that's the pilgrimage of faith. The second thing, we're going to go to verses 11, 9 through 10. We see, by faith he lived and as an alien in the land of promise, as in foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise, for he was looking for the city which has foundations, I'll get that out, whose architect and builder is God. So they dwelt, right? They're living in tents. They're moving from place to place. They didn't have a solid home, you know. I don't know if anybody watched Tiny House Hunters. Anybody see that show? Okay, so I get made fun of it in my house a lot because I think the coolest thing is the yurt. That the round tent. So everybody says, no, we're not going to go live in a yurt. But that's what they were doing. They were traveling around and living in yurts and moving around, not knowing where they were going to end up, right? And then they ended up in the land that God promised them, but it wasn't theirs. It wasn't theirs yet. So they're living as aliens in this land. Now about you, sometimes, you know, we'll be out and about and the kids will ask for something, you know, hey, can we get a snowball, right? And we'll say, yep, I'll give you a snowball. Yep, we'll get a snowball later. And then every 10 minutes after that, can we get a snowball now? Can we get a snowball now? You know, so I can't imagine, you know, they're just trying to make it a couple hours before we get them their snowball. These, you know, they were living their entire lives, right? I mean, Abraham, this land was promised to him. He didn't see it. Isaac didn't see it. Jacob didn't see it. It was 500 years later before they ever got to have this land that was promised to them. So we must be patient in our faith. Our faith, you know, it's not about, even if you know God's made a promise, that promise may not be something you're going to see. Maybe it's something that's coming down the path. We have to be patient in our faith. The answers may not always be coming, right? True faith is deaf in doubt, dumb in discouragement, and blind in impossibility. If we're really putting our faith in God and what he says, we're not going to be doubting. We're not going to say, well, there's no way that can happen, because we know that God wants it to happen. It's going to happen. And we're going to talk more about that here in a minute as well. So we continue reading on in 11 through 12, where it says, by faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore also there was born one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number and innumerable, and the sand which is by the seashore. That says a lot. But here's what we know here. And we see this in Mark 9:23. I don't know if I have that up or not, but it says, all things are possible to whom he believes, right? Sarah was past her prime, right? She wasn't, normal childbearing years. But God promised that he was going to give them an heir and that they would continue to have descendants beyond that. And he did that, right? God, through our faith and through our faith in God, God has the power to do the things that he wants within his will. That doesn't mean everything we want for means we're going to get. Just because we have faith in God and we want something doesn't mean we're going to get it. But if it's aligning with his will, God has the power to do that if we continue to put faith in him. Whoever we know to be God's will, faith has the power to accomplish. We will see. But also we know, and we see in the story, and he doesn't mention it here, but you know, there can be consequences for loss in faith. Sarah, right? As she was getting old and as things were continuing to progress, said, well, obviously, right, there's got to be another way God meant this to happen. This descendant thing, I mean, it's not going to happen through me, right? So, he, you know, Abraham goes and has a child, and that child ends up to be Ishmael, right? Not with Sarah, right? And Sarah kind of set that all up, right? Well, if we know, you know, they said that Ishmael was going to be a thorn in the side, and the descendants theirs, right, ultimately became Islam and those types of things as well, right? So if we continue to see that. So there can be consequences. If we lose our faith and we're not following God's will, doesn't mean that what's good's going to necessarily come of that. And so that's something we can, it's an example we get here. So the power of faith is the third thing. So we continue to read 13 through 16, and Arthur here starts to get really wordy. I'm just going to say it. All of these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from what they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. It's the positiveness of faith. So they went out looking for something better. God told them there was going to be something better, right? And, you know, what's saying is, if they'd known some of the hardships, maybe they just turned around. But they didn't. They had faith in God. They didn't mind that. They were going to go because God said there was something better out there for them. It may not have been here. It was right, and we know that ultimately that goal, that, you know, the providence, what's here isn't, what's good isn't necessarily here, but it's the, right, it's the eternal life we get through believing in Christ. So it's that heavenly country, that heavenly city, and it says that God wasn't ashamed to be called their God because they had faith in him, right? They were almost like a saying he was proud of what they were doing. Having faith, knowledge that God will fulfill his promise is enough. These guys played the long game, right? Like we talked about with Enoch, right? How long did he work? We got 300 years he walked with God, right? Having our faith isn't something that we should just have today or something we're only going to have and, you know, saying, okay, I'm going to have faith in you, God, but then if you don't get what you want, you know, we walk away from it. Faith is something we should have every day, we continue to have, and it's the long game. It's something we're going to have to look at our whole lives, and it may not feel like we're getting what we want, but if we're positive in our faith, that we can do that. You know, example is Job. We all know Job went through a lot of trials, right? He had a lot of bad things happen to him, but at the end, he says this. He says, as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and then at the last, he will stand his stand on the earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet for my own flesh, I shall see God. He said, no matter what happens to me here, I know I'm going to see him. I know he's going to win down here. I mean, if we really think about what Job is saying, right, at the last, he will take his stand on the earth. It's almost, again, you know, a little premonition of, you know, that we're going to have God here on earth with us. And we did in Jesus. And that he will have a chance to see him in heaven. So this is the hope and the faith of every believer, right? That we will see God, that we will be able to spend eternity with him, and this is the positiveness of faith that we see in Abraham. So the last one, we'll continue reading verses 17 through 19. By faith, when Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who received the promises was offered up his only begotten son. It was he to whom he was said, in Isaac your descendant shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. You know, I always know growing up when you in hearing the story of Isaac, you know, and of this call where God tells Abraham, okay, I want you to make a sacrifice to me, and I want it to be Isaac. You know, and he goes, and you know, and he's got that dagger lift, and he's about to do it, right? And he stopped. You know, and the way I always viewed it back then was, you know, I mean, it was right. We're always kind of taught, well, you know, that's a test of his, you know, of his belief and his obedience to God. But as I was digging in for this sermon today, I'll tell you, I got a different view of it, and it's really that view of faith, and that's this that. If you think about it, right, we know God always keeps his promises, right? That was the faith, as you know, the believers back then said, you know, always knew, right? They had faith, God kept his promises. And what did God promise? God promised that Isaac would, in Isaac, your descendants shall be called. So, as Abraham's going up there to make the sacrifice, and he's got to be thinking, well, Isaac's got to come off this hill. Because if God keeps his promises, and it's through Isaac's it's going to be, then I know that God's going to God. Now, he's not necessarily thinking that he still wasn't going to go through the sacrifice, because here we see, he says, he considered that God is able to raise even men from the dead. So he had enough faith in God to say, Isaac's coming off this hill. If I end up sacrificing him here today, God's going to raise him, because I know that my descendants are going through Isaac. God said so, and God keeps his promises. So he had the faith. And this is actually the first place where we see even a thought or a belief in the resurrection of the dead. And I thought that was pretty telling, right? I mean, just the depth that goes around that God was going to fulfill his promises, and Abraham put full faith in that. Not saying, yes, was this an act of obedience? Absolutely. But he also knew that God was going to save Isaac, because he had promised that Isaac would be the descendants. And so this is the proof of faith. The proof of faith, true sacrifice. And again, right, what a foreshadowing of Abraham, being asked to go give his only son, and we know ultimately God did that for us, right? Sacrificed his son on the cross for us. So the proof of faith is what we see. So this is the pattern of Abraham, right? We've talked about walking with him and taking the pilgrimage. We have to be patient. We have to play the long game. We know faith has power. If we are just able to stick with God and we're able to stick with his will, we pray and we continue to pray and we continue to seek his guidance. We can have positiveness in our faith because we know what the end game is. We know the reward. We know what we can have as faithful Christians. And we can continue to show the proof that we have faith by continuing to follow through in his actions. And so what excites me today is a chance to be able to hear about, what some of these guys have been able to do over the last week as they went to their camp. And got a chance to, I wish I had a chance sometimes just to peel away, get away for a week and just live in the Bible, because I think it can be really hard sometimes in this world. And so I'm going to call Ricky and Caitlin and the guys up, and we're going to get to hear from them for a few minutes as well, and hear some examples of what some of the things they've learned as well. So come on up, guys.
So good morning, Grace Point. I see the pictures are going. So what you're going to see on the pictures here is some of the fun things that students did at camp this week, including basketball, sports activities, little outdoor activities, and that's the stuff we got on camera. There were other fun things we did not get on camera, like water balloon fights over cardboard castles. A water balloon ambush of our students, which that video is on my Facebook page. I encourage you all to go check it out. But more importantly, the things that were not captured on camera were the more intimate moments of this camp. And that includes worship services. It includes students falling on their face with their hearts breaking for the Lord, calling out in prayer. Students praying over each other, praying over the services, and it was powerful and impactful just to see the way the Lord moved in the lives of these young people over this week. While we were at camp, we studied Paul's letter to the church in Philippi. It should be familiar here as we walked through that a few weeks back. And as we went through it, our students were really, tasked with understanding the harsh conditions that Paul lived under as he continued to strive for the faith. They were continuously pointed out to the difficulties of the Christian life, and that it wouldn't be easy, that you would face persecution and ridicule, But the entire time, our camp had this theme of a question: is following Christ worth it? In light of this persecution, they were taught of the work that Christ did on the cross for them. They were taught of the calling that each and every one of us are called to lead in bearing fruit and making disciples. And at the end of the camp and throughout the camp, they were taught of the surpassing worth of Jesus Christ and how in the end it would all be worth it to them. So now I'm going to stop talking and we're going to give our students an opportunity to share things that stuck out to them with camp. Where's that microphone, Joe? All right, so yeah, we could start on whichever side of the stage. Let's start on this side.
Our leader was Miss Caitlin, and the Bible studies, what I really liked about them is that we didn't have to be afraid to share our feelings. We got to share problems and difficulties we were going through in life. During the week, we got to take what we learned about Philippians, and each team made a skit. Which really helped me understand what we were learning. I am thankful for my church and Mr. Ricky and Miss Caitlin for taking the time to take us to camp, and I'm thankful that Jesus saved me. A few years ago, I was baptized, and he was shaping me into the person he wants me to be.
Yes. Do you want to say anything? No, that's fine. That's fine.
One of my favorite things about the camp this year was the sermon, because every day we would have 2 to 3 services, and in the morning a different person would share each morning, so you kind of got to hear their different points of it, their different examples.
Any of y'all want to share?
Yep.
Huh? What?
My favorite thing about camp was being able to go to sermon, because it helped me grow more in growing in God and having a better relationship with him, and also knowing more about him.
So my name's Levi, and before I came to this camp, I was off track, and I wasn't believing in God, and I wasn't there, and I wasn't studying and reading and trying to believe in him. I wasn't doing any of that, but when I came to camp, it really brought me back, and I felt like the Lord was there the whole time, and that I was able to help others to see how God works in us, and that we are able to come back after camp and spread his word. And yeah, that's all I had to say.
One thing that really stuck out to me at the camp was, like, morning worship when we sang. Like, it was... It... I don't know what the word is. It just felt good.
So, before I went to the camp, I didn't worship God. Like, I didn't, like, sing. But I do now, because I started singing at the church. I'm at morning worship on Tuesday. Yeah, last the Tuesday we were at camp. Yeah.
Awesome. Yes.
During service, one big part that I learned is that it's not our works that matter in this world. Mm. It's really, either way, whatever we do, it's not what we do. It's either way, Christ is going to love us no matter what. And that everything else in this world is rubbish. It's not if we're the best at our talents or if we have the perfect grades. It's living for Christ, and it's worth it. That's what I learned.
Well, I just wanted to thank you guys for investing in our students, for all who helped out. Y'all truly invested in the unseen things this week, so thank y'all so much.
And I'll just build on that. You know, I know that several people in our church gave generously to making sure every student could attend camp. I know there were a lot of prayers poured out over our youth group. I thank you all for that, and hopefully y'all see the work that Christ has done in our students. And you know, to our students, you know, I'm very proud of each and every one of y'all. I'm proud of how y'all represented Grace Point at camp that week. The prayers over services, the prayers over your friends, and I couldn't be prouder to be going through this walk with you guys. So thank you all. Thank you, everyone, for sharing. And you can go back to your seats now.
Tell you, how cool is that? Just so exciting. And so as we are finishing up this section of our series, I thought, no, what better way to end, especially after watching, you know, and listening to these guys talk, is to end on the courage of faith. It took courage for you guys, and appreciate you guys coming up and talking. And I'll just challenge I'll give to you guys, and what we'll continue to talk about here in the next couple of minutes is, you know, the courage you're going to want to continue to have. It can be easy when you're at camp. But it can start to fade away. So the courage it can take not to let the world, not to let those distractions of the outside world, not to let others pull you away from that faith is something I challenge not just you guys to do, but all of us to do, because we can all be guilty of that. And so we're going to finish up, and we're going to go through this last section of Hebrews just for a couple of minutes here. And, we continue on in verse 30, where it says, "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given freely welcome to the spies." And so with Rahab, what we see here is that God will take anybody, right? There's nobody that God is not trying to reach. Rahab, she's a really unlikely example to be in this, right, this hall of faith. She was a prostitute. She was a Gentile. She was a Canaanite at that, which these were the wicked, the idolaters, the worst of the worst, right? These were who, you know, the Jews were going in and expelling from the promised land. And even worse than that, she was an Amorite, which was a race that God, back in Genesis, had said, they're going to be destroyed. They're going to be destroyed, right? So for Rahab to say, to say that the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath, showed her faith. Anybody can put their faith in God and be saved, no matter what they've done in the past, no matter who they are, no matter their background, their nationality, their status in life. We see that here. We can, right? So never think you're not good enough. Never think you're not smart enough. Never think, oh, he's not going to accept me. He will accept everybody if you put your faith in him. She had the courage to believe. For her faith, courage, Rahab not only was spared, but was honored. She became the mother of Boaz, who was married to Ruth, who was the great-grandmother of David. And we all know that David, right, was a descendant of Jesus. So here, right, one of the most unlikely, right, you see on this end, right? If the Jewish people were the chosen people, she was way over here on this end, and she ends up being a descendant of Jesus. God will take anybody. So we continue on, and it says, "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and of Samuel, and the prophets." So I think we should take some time and talk about each one of them right now. No, I'm kidding. I won't do that. But we can listen right to hear what they did, right? Who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, but foreign armies to flight, put foreign armies to flight, and women received back their dead by resurrection. Sign me up. Faith is awesome. I'm going to grow my hair long. I'm going to be like He-Man. I'm going to be able to be like the Matrix and George dodge the sword, right? That's what we're seeing here, right? Faith is easy when you read like this, but we got to keep going, right? Because it said others were tortured, refused to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves on the earth. Okay, that didn't sound as good. And you may say, well, why did he let this happen? God didn't abandon them. God made them strong in their faith so that they could get through these afflictions, right? And we can do that too as we go through, right? We're not saying life's going to be easy. We're not saying life's always going to give us what we want, right? It's not always rainbows and unicorns. But if we have faith, we know, and we have the courage to keep our faith, God will let us get through. Even Jesus said, right, as I've been persecuted, so will you, right? Jesus told us we're going to have to bear our own crosses. So we know that life's not going to be perfect, but we know in our faith we can get through anything. We just have the courage to keep our eye on the prize. And at the end, and as we're closing out, the kicker, well, I say the kicker of this, right? Everybody we've talked about over these last two weeks says, and all of these, though commended, and we see that word commended over and over, and we've talked about that, through their faith did not receive what was promised. Since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Now, he's not saying God didn't keep their promise. He's just saying they didn't live long enough to see it. Right? They all perished. They all had faith. They knew, right? God had made a promise to them, right? He was going to send a Savior. They all died. They all had their faith. They knew God was going to keep that promise. Why? Because we know God always keeps his promises. We see that. So for us, the question I have is, why is it sometimes hard for us? Because we know, right? The promise has been fulfilled. Christ has come. He died. He was resurrected. We know that eternal life is there. We've seen the promise revealed. These guys' faith was so strong. They knew that God was going to make it. They didn't know when it was going to happen, but they believed. So we, now that we're on the easy side of this, right? We should be able to do that. These men and women can have faith in the promised salvation. Shouldn't it be easy for us to have faith knowing we can have it by simply just believing in Christ? So my challenge to you guys and to everybody here today, as we go back, I want to look at that phrase we've been talking about, right? Faith is the way to life, and faith is the way to live. Some of you guys today, whether, you know, it could be any of us, if you haven't put in your faith in Christ yet, I'm going to ask you, why not? Faith is the way to life. And I can tell you, I can speak on my, you know, just on my own thing. If you're waiting for that perfect moment, if you're waiting for that the proof, right? I'm just waiting for one more thing. I want God to show me this one more sign, and then I can know. You may be sitting there a long time. I know I did. I know I sat for a while going, okay, but what if? What if I'm not ready? What if it's not real? But as we talked about in the first week, right, when we put in faith in God, that's not just us, right? That's supernatural. That's spiritual. God also puts that in us, right? Because if it was just our own decision, right, that wouldn't be enough, right? This has to be for God's glory. I promise you, if you take that leaf, if you say that prayer, God's waiting on the other side. He's going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. The doubt will go away. And I can tell you I know that because I did it. The doubt will go away. I can tell you the story. I can remember several weeks, right? The church I was at the time was, hey, you want to go about, you know, if you want to give your life to Christ, go behind the curtain. The prayer team will be there. And it'd be like, should I go behind the curtain? Is it time to go behind the curtain? And finally, just one day, I said, forget it. And I went behind the curtain. And we said a prayer, and my life was changed forever. So you can do it. So faith is the way to life. And I challenge everybody, if you haven't done it, you can. Chris and I will be in the back. We may not be behind the curtain, but you can come see us. We would love to say a prayer with you. We'd love for you to give your life to Christ. And then, for the rest of us that have, it says faith is the way to live. Are you living your life every day in faith? Are you giving yourself to Christ? Are you worshiping in faith? Are you walking with God every day? Are you obeying what God's speaking to you through the word, through your prayer? Are you obeying God? And if you are you will see that your decisions will be made more towards His will than towards what the earth is trying to have us to do. We can follow Abraham's example, and we can live our lives in true faith. So I say it again, faith is the way to life. Give yourself to God. Give yourself to Christ. It's how you will live eternally, and then we can live that way every day, continue to give to God and continue to do it. So that's my challenge to you guys, challenge to everybody today. I am excited and looking forward to, thank you guys. Everybody, I've been getting some great information on some roadblocks and some different things like that. So actually, you guys are putting me to a challenge. So I have some work to do this week to get ready for next week as we talk through that. And so with that, I just want to close this out in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for this group of youth. We're so thankful for the chance they had to go spend a week in your word worshiping. I just was so so excited and so was just filled with the joy in the Spirit as I heard their testimonies and how they grew. And Lord, we know that there are those who are out there who are searching, who are hurting. They may be here today. They may not have made it to church. But we just want to pray for them, Lord. Help them open their hearts. They may be filled with the Spirit. Accept you, Lord. Accept your grace and the gift that you provided us, Lord. And we just want to pray too for those of us who are here today who faith can be a continual struggle. There's so many distractions in this world, Lord. Just ask that you help us stay focused on you, Lord, and your will, and where you want us to. Continue in our lives, Lord. We love you. We want to thank you for all the blessings of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.